Amen. Well, would you guys open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14? And I have a message today entitled Press On in 2024. Press On in 2024. You know, people were asked at a church what their regrets were for 2023. I mean, what were some of the regrets that I coulda, shoulda, I would have done this in the previous year? Here's where some of the common answers. I regret getting into debt. I regret buying that car. I regret buying that thing from that infomercial or that Facebook ad. I regret paying for so much and getting so little. I regret that thinking that more money is all that I need. I regret telling my wife that I'd lose weight for her as a Valentine's gift. I regret putting my hope in the rail that it would fix our traffic jam here in Honolulu. I regret not spending enough time with my children or my lonely neighbor. Or I regret not spending enough time with my dad fishing. Now that chance is gone. I regret all the date nights that I did not take with my husband or my wife. I regret all my apathy towards worship. I regret listening to man's opinions, not God's. I regret listening to Satan's lies, not God's truth. I regret consistently missing time with God, yet somehow never missing my favorite football game or baseball game. I regret not grieving when I was diagnosed with cancer. I regret not being able to get pregnant. I regret fighting the same battles every day that I foolishly tried to hide sins from others. I regret the person that I have become this past year. Whew, I mean, that's pretty heavy stuff. And oftentimes, like, regret can weigh us down, that we're unable to press on or press forward to what God has for us. You see, getting past our past, right, is a pretty daunting task because we are all products of our past. Like, how do we move forward? How are we able to get ourselves by the bootstraps, so to speak, and then move forward despite all the regrets and the mistakes of the I coulda, shoulda, woulda done this past year? Have you ever felt like you were stuck in a rut, that you can't really move forward because there's things in your past that's holding you back? You can't get past some of your mistakes. Well, the good news is Paul in Philippians chapter 3, he answers for us on how we can move forward. Okay, so let's read Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on. There's the word. I press on to make it my own because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind the past, straining forward to what lies ahead. Here's the second time. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. And so, Father, we need you. We need your grace. Lord, we don't want to look back. We don't want to be stuck in the past. We want to be like Apostle Paul, where he says, if there's one thing I do, I could do many things. I could do a couple things. I could do few things. But if there's one thing I do, I forget what lies behind and I press forward. I press on. So Lord, I pray that you, Holy Spirit, will convince us of your truth, that we would press on in 2024 to what you have in store for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the context of Philippians is that it was written about AD 60 to AD 62. So about 30 or so years after the resurrection of Jesus. Now Acts chapter 28, it confirms three times that Paul, he spent 2 years in Rome, for house arrest. And while he was in house arrest, Paul, he wrote what we call the prison epistles, which is Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Okay, these are the prison epistles. And Philippians specifically, one of the key themes is this idea of rejoicing. In fact, rejoice is mentioned 10 times just in the book of Philippians. And so Paul, in what seems to be like a classic case of being a victim of circumstance, which means he was in prison. He could have been like, oh, poor me, myself and I, like I can't do anything. I'm bound up in chains. Paul could have been a victim to his circumstance, but yet he redeems that and he pushes forward with a singular focus. He says, if there's one thing I do, actually, Paul hears it, if there's one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I press on. Even though it seems like it's three things, the main idea is that Paul, if there's one thing I do, I'm going to press on to what God has for me. And so how can we move past our regrets? How do we move forward and get past our mistakes that seem to haunt us or to weigh us down? Hebrews says there's some sin that easily beset us. There's some past things that we have done that easily causes us to stumble. So how do we do it? Number one is this: get past the victories. Get past the victories. Remember, church, we must recognize the victories in our lives, the testimonies that God has done, accomplishments and accolades. But listen, we remember them, but we don't dwell on the past victories. We're not fixated on the past. We don't relive the good old glory days. We get past the victories. Life is like a roller coaster with ups and downs and hills and valleys and victories and triumphs and accomplishments and mountaintops. But there's also defeats and losses and valleys and lows. You know, Ecclesiastes says that there's a time for everything: peace, war, grieving, rejoicing, birth, and death. And in the context of Philippians, of getting past the victories, you know, much has been made about Paul saying, you know, three times, ask the Lord to get rid of my thorn in the flesh. Some people think it's sickness. Some people think it's an ailment. Some scholars believe it's like a sin of some sort or a weakness. But forgetting what lies behind, I believe, for one thing I do, I forget what lies behind. I think Paul is referring to his accomplishments, his pedigree, his confidence in the flesh. Let's look at chapter 3, a couple verses before that. It says, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh, also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. So Paul here, he's like, man, I believe maybe his thorn in the flesh is that he had this sense of pride, this confidence in his accomplishments. He was from the tribe of Benjamin, right? Like the favored son. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He was a Pharisee. He was like a PhD of his time. The Pharisees were pretty much the interpreters of the law, like the Supreme Court almost, right? A Supreme Court judge. As to Paul, like for him, he had this confidence in the flesh. You know, 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, which is pride in your possessions, lust of the eyes, which is covetousness, wanting what other people have, and pride of life. What is pride of life? It's pride in our achievements, pride in our accomplishments. 1 John 2:16, John says, this is not from the Father, taking pride in our accomplishments. You know, Jeremiah 9 23 to 24 says, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, not the strong man boast in his strength, or the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boast this, that he understands me and that he knows me, that I am the Lord who practices love, steadfast love and justice and righteousness, for in these things I delight, declares the Lord. I think if we're honest, I think we take pride in the fact of our pedigree, whether it's ethnic. Oh, well, you know, like I'm Filipino, you know what I mean? Like I'm Hawaiian, I'm Portuguese, whatever it may be, right? Well, we take pride in our degrees. Well, I went to this school, I went to that school, or I have this degree. You know, I have a MBA and an MBA, right? I have worked at this place before. I've worked at this law firm before. You know what I mean? Like, it's this confidence in the flesh. And Paul says, if you want to move forward, you got to get past the victories, the highs, right? You recognize it. Okay, that happened, but we're not going to dwell and be fixated on that. In fact, would you write this in? Looking back is sure to end in going back. Looking back is sure to end in going back. You know, the Bible is replete with passages about the danger of looking back, right? Look at Jesus in Luke 9:62. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. If you want to be a follower of Christ, hands to the plow, forward to the author and perfecter of your faith, and not looking back. Well, you know, if I didn't serve Jesus, I could have had this car, or if I didn't give and tithe, I would have, you know, lived in that place, or I could have had much nicer things. And you're not fit to be a disciple if you keep looking back to your past accomplishments. Remember Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt? Hebrews says, let us lay aside every sin that easily besets us, and let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. You know, from Exodus, the people of God traveled from Egypt to Promised Land. Most scholars said it shouldn't take maybe 3 months, but the max is 3 years, but it took them 40 years. You know, part of it is the old adage, right? That it took 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. But I think part of it is just looking back. The very first crossing of the Red Sea, they're like, oh man, we're just going to die. I miss leeks, I miss onions, and all the things that we had in Egypt. They kept looking back. From Israel in the Exodus to you and me right now, like, how many of you have met people who are stuck in the past? How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? I mean, they're just like in a time capsule. Maybe they're just stuck on a certain life stage that they were at. Maybe it was high school, where they were like the star athlete, or they were most popular, or the homecoming king. They were just stuck in the past. Maybe they're stuck in college. Oh, best day ever. Yeah, that was the best. Or maybe they were stuck, or they just stuck in the past of when they were single, right? And they're like, oh, that was so bad. Oh, man, that was, you know, I think they call it dual income, no kids, dink, right? That people's like, oh man, when we didn't have kids, we just traveled and ate out, and they just keep going back. Like, you can't even have a conversation with them without even them going back to the way things were, or the good old days. Listen, you guys, not getting past the victories in life, if you're always looking back, if you're always reminiscing, if you're always replaying the tape of how good it was back then, and that was the best time ever, it will lead to discontentment and an ungrateful heart. So would you write this in? Living in past victories leads to discontentment, resulting to an ungrateful heart. If we're always replaying, because that was the best days ever, best time of my life, and you keep going back, you become discontent with where you're at and with your season right now. You're not grateful for what you have. You're discontent. You're uneasy. And because of that, when you're discontent, it will result to an ungrateful heart. That you're not thankful for the season that you're at right now. You're not thankful for what God has trusted you right now. You're not thankful for this season in your life with people you're doing life with, and the life stage of your kids, and the life stage of your spouse, or at your work, or in your career, in your community, and where you're living. You'll be ungrateful. If you're discontent with your living situation, your life stage, your career, your spouse, or your children, you and I are going to take the most precious things that God has gifted us with. We're going to take it for granted. So an ungrateful heart leads to a violation of the most important commandment. What is the most important commandment? Love God. Remember, all in? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. How can you love God if you are ungrateful for where you're at right now? How can you love God, and how can you love people if you're discontent with the relationships that God has gifted you with? I heard on the radio a couple of years ago that of people getting divorced, and 13% of those surveyed of people that got divorced, they quoted Facebook. Isn't that crazy? People are getting divorced because they go back to Facebook. Oh, that was my college sweetheart. I wonder how they're doing right now. Oh, that was my high school, the love of my life. That was my soulmate. And what are they doing? Oh, they're still single too? Living in past victories leads to discontentment, resulting to an ungrateful heart. Number two, not only get past the victories, but we must also get past the defeats. Look at verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. What's behind us? The lows, the valleys, the dry, the arid, the wanting seasons of our life. So we have to get past our past. Would you write that in? What is our past? Which is like our upbringing, trials, or our circumstance. It could be what your parents have said about you. Maybe it was a teacher. Maybe it was an auntie or an uncle. Maybe it was a sibling that have spoken something over your life negatively, and that has identified you as a person and has weighed you down, and you are unable to move forward because of the past. You know, if you look at Joseph, like, he's a good example of not living in the past, right? He not always going back, oh, I wish I still had my colorful coat. But he looked forward to God's call in his life, where he was able to tell his brothers, hey, what you guys have intended for evil, God had turned it for good. And not only that, it could save thousands. Many people will be saved from starvation. So have the faith and confidence of getting past your past. You know, there's a story about a farmer whose donkey fell down into a well. Now the animal cried piteously for hours and hours as the farmer tried to figure out what to do. So the donkey, yee-aw, yee-aw, was calling for help because it fell down the well. And finally the farmer's like, man, this donkey is already kind of getting old, and the well needed to be covered up anyways because more people are gonna, you know, maybe children will fall into it. So it's just not worth it to try to retrieve this old donkey. So he invited all his friends and his neighbors to come on over, and they were just gonna cover the well. So they grabbed a shovel and began to shovel dirt into the well. At first, the donkey realized what was happening, that they were going to bury him alive, and he began to cry horribly. Then, to everyone's amazement, the donkey quieted down. A few shovels loads later, the farmer finally looked down, and he was astonished at what he saw. With each shovel of dirt that hit the donkey's back, the donkey was doing something amazing. He would shake off the dirt from his back and take a step up. As the farmer's neighbors continued to shovel dirt on top of the animal, he would shake it off and take a step. Shake it off and take a step. Pretty soon, everyone was amazed as the donkey stepped over the edge of the well and happily trotted off. Listen, you guys, life is gonna throw dirt on you, all kinds of dirt. The trick is, and the key is, to getting out of the well is this: we gotta shake it off and take a step up. Each of our troubles is a stepping stone. We can get out of the deepest wells just by not stopping and never giving up. Shake it off and take a step up. Amen. So you are a product of your past, but you are not a prisoner of your past. Would you write that in? You are a product of your past, but you are not a prisoner of your past. The past is like temptation that you can't avoid it, but you can choose not to dwell on it. I believe it was Martin Luther who said, "Hey, you can't prevent birds from flying over you overhead, but you can't prevent birds from putting a nest on top of your head and living on top of your head." Temptations, of course, we can't avoid it, but we can prevent the birds from flying over our heads. Bobby Clinton, who is just a dear man of God, who studied leadership, and he has this theory called leadership emergence theory. And one of the first stage of leadership development, he calls it sovereign foundation. And the major lesson for leaders is to turn this phase of the good, the bad, the ugly that we have gone through, our upbringing, where we lived, where we went to school, our home life, good, bad, abuse, verbal, physical, whatever it is, emotional. And we respond positively to both the negative and the positive circumstances that God uses to develop our character. And so, secondly, is that we must get past the condemnation of sin. Condemnation from sin. Romans 8:1 says that, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." No condemnation, because through Christ Jesus, the law of spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. When I was youth pastoring, some 15 years ago, 20 years ago, we had one of the my former students. She called me. She had just settled down. She had just gotten married. She had two kids. They actually just bought a house, and she asked me to do a house blessing. But before that, she called me a couple times because she was having this constant nightmare. And the nightmare was that she was pregnant, and then the devil was trying to steal and kill the baby in her womb, and she was doing everything she can to protect this baby. And as she was explaining and weeping what was going on, the Holy Spirit just kind of gave me a word, like an insight, and it's like, let's just say her name is Sarah, right? I said, "Hey, Sarah, do you feel a little bit guilty that because of your past before Christ, that you have a husband that fears God, you have two healthy children, and now you're able to buy a home? Do you feel guilty? Like, have you had an abortion before?" And she stopped on her tracks and she started weeping. Yes. And I prayed for her, and I reminded her of Hebrews 10:14. Hebrews 10:14 says, "For by one sacrifice, or by one offering, a single offering, God has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." By the sacrifice of Jesus dying on the cross, God has perfected for all eternity those who are being cleansed. Do you guys catch that? That through your faith in Christ, the object of your faith is Christ, his life, death, his resurrection. You have been made perfect for all of eternity because his righteousness has been transferred over to me and to you. Sin, let me ask you guys something. What separates us from God? Right? What separates you from God? Sin. And 1 Peter 3:18 says that by one sacrifice, Christ, the righteous, died for the unrighteous, me and you, so that he might bring us to God. This chasm, this distance between you and God has been brought close, and now you have access to God because Jesus has taken care of your sin. So listen, as we bring this, wrap this up to a close, whatever kind of sin that you've done in your past, Jesus, this is why. You notice Jesus just didn't take like a lethal injection. That Jesus, before the advent of electricity, he just wasn't on the electric chair, but he died a long, excruciating death. He was nailed, he was pierced on that cross for you and for me to pay for the penalty of sin. And he was resurrected so that we can have power over sin. So get past your condemnation. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ, because Christ has set you free and has cleansed your conscience of your past. Amen. And this is why when Jesus died on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was forsaken at the cross so that we could be accepted for all time by the Father. As far as the east is from the west, can you measure east from west? You cannot. So far has he removed our transgression from us. Even though our sins are like scarlet, he has made us white as snow. Amen. So let's move forward. Get rid of past victories. Get rid of past defeats, condemnation, your upbringing. Shake it off. Step up to the upward call of God in Jesus. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, that your faithfulness is great and that we can look to 2024 with confidence in you, O Lord Jesus, that you who began a good work, you're faithful to complete that which you started. We love you. We worship you. So, Lord, strengthen your people that if there's one thing they could do this year, forgetting what lies behind and look forward and press on to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. Don't forget, January 7th, live in-person service, first service of 2024. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord give you peace. Go with God, and God will go with you. Love you guys.